to forget people coming in. Here we go, the next question. I would like to request, and you can say no, whether after the questions and answers at night, whether you and I can meditate at the beach for about 15 minutes. That sounds a bit suspicious. I agree, proposition. Okay. This is, I'm going to read the whole thing out. P.S. Please say out your room number so we can meet up. And don't worry, I am a guy, not a girl. That makes me even more worried. I've got to be very careful. Sorry, it says, thanks and please take this seriously. Now, if you want to meet up and ask some questions, not at the beach at night, you may have some very, very good ideas, but many people will look at that with great suspicion. So, at the interviews in the afternoon, just make a time for an interview. We can meet up then. Interview time. Otherwise we get to be Okay. Here we go. My daughter is still a toddler, and like all toddlers, she tends to test my patience from day to day. At times I lose it and somehow hit on the hand to tell her to stop misbehaving. Seems to make me feel better. How do I learn to be a better mum, and how do I control my anger and not lose my, whatever it is, lose it. Thank you. It's just so hard being a mother with a little toddler. One of the things is to take a bit more rest for yourself, because the more rest you can find, just the easier it is to, the more resilience you have, the less quickly you get angry. So that when your kid goes to sleep, that you have a rest. One nice thing about toddlers is that when they're up and about, they're very active. But when they sleep, they just pass out. That's a good time for you to pass out too. And take a bit of a rest. So please, whatever time there is, please take a rest. Otherwise you get so stressed out looking after a toddler that sometimes you do lose it. Simply because we just don't have enough support, enough rest for ourselves. So to be kind to others, you have to be kind to yourself. If you're not kind to yourself and give yourself some breaks and rest, it means eventually you take it out on your husband or on your kids. And that's just nature, because you get grumpy and angry because you're tired. Dear Ajahn, how do I get what I really want in life? I'll let you know right now, you will never get what you really want in life. But when you stop trying, then whatever you wanted, you find you already had. Wonderful thing in life. You've got everything you ever needed, but still you want some more. How much do you really need? Isn't this wonderful? You're just in a 5-star resort with a nice funny monk looking after you, with great food and nice. What more can you want in life? It don't get better than this. So enjoy it. So what do you really want in life? That's sort of a question which I often ask myself when my meditation's not going well. So what do I really want? Because I don't want anything. When I don't want anything, then I'm at peace. And I realise that's what I always wanted to begin with. Just some peace and some quietness, some relaxation. And every time I want that, I move further away from it. Please remember this saying, I mentioned it on the first night. When you want something more, you can't enjoy what you already have. When you want something more, you can't enjoy what you already have. That's such a wonderful explanation of the Four Noble Truths. So that even when you're eating, when you want something more, you're looking at the breakfast or the dinner, what you're going to have next, you can't enjoy what you're eating right now. when you look at your partner, your husband, your wife, and you want somebody younger, it means you can't enjoy the one you're with right now. She's good enough. He's good enough. So don't want something more. When you want something more, you can't enjoy what you already have. So when you want to be somewhere else, you can't enjoy the present moment. For a lot of us, we always want something more, something more, something more, something more. We get our first million. Do we stop? No, we want our second million. We get our nice house. We want a second house. We get a nice car. Then we want private aircraft. It never stops, does it? So that's why I stopped a long time ago. This is good enough for me. Then you don't want anything. There was on this one occasion. Here's the story. There's one occasion that as a monk I'm not allowed to have any money. But there is a loophole. There's always loopholes to these things. And this particular loophole is, I can't accept any money, but you can always say, Ashabah, is there anything you need for a certain amount of money? And the money is kept with an attendant. That happened to me once. This man came to my monastery in Thailand while I was a young monk. I'd helped him out on something or other. He was very grateful. He said, I have 100 baht for you. This was a long time ago when I was a lot of money. What do you want for 100 baht? And that's allowable to do that. And I started thinking, I couldn't think what I wanted. And the man was getting impatient, like, you know, people are, because you know, they've got work to go to. So seeing his impatience and not knowing really what to answer, I said, sir, let me think about this tonight. Come back tomorrow and I'll give you the list of what I want for 100 baht. It's a good idea. So he left, and that evening I got out an old piece of paper and started thinking, what do I want for 100 baht? And I started thinking straight away, I needed an exercise book, not a scrap of paper to write on. So that was the first thing I wrote down, an exercise book. Something simple. And actually, I was writing with a pencil. I needed a proper pen, not expensive, but just an ordinary biro to write down on. And actually, talking about writing, I really needed to write a letter to my mother, so I needed these little aerograms. But you know, it's very difficult to write this out under candlelight, because that's all I had. So I said, I also need one of these lanterns, like an oil lantern, because that's much easier to write with. And actually, talking about lights, my flashlight was really dead. I needed some new old batteries. And actually, because I need them, because when you walk in the forest over there, there's snakes and other things around. And actually, talking about walking through the forest, I needed some more sandals, because my old ones had worn out. And by this time, 100 baht wasn't enough. And all of these things, now I thought about them, they're really important. I did need batteries, and I did need shoes, and I did need... But I couldn't take anything off the list. In fact, the more I thought, the more I added things onto the list. And soon 1,000 baht was not enough. And I realized what was going on. As soon as I opened the door of desire, all these things, they just flooded in. So what I did, I screwed up that piece of paper, threw it away. When that guy came the next day, I scolded him. Never do that to me again. I was such a happy monk before you gave me $100 to spend, 100 baht to spend. And that's actually very true. When you haven't got it, you don't need it. When you've got it, there's no end to the amount of needs you have. So how much do you really want in life? Nothing really. You just want to be peaceful. Have the harmony and love of your family. How much does that cost? You want to have peace, calm, happiness, good health. If you're worrying and worrying and worrying about trying to get this and trying to get that, it ruins your health. So find out what's the most important things in life. And then you find you already have this. Your family. Time, love. Dear Ajahn, what is Vipassana meditation? Is that similar to what we learn? Yeah, there is no difference between Vipassana and Samatha meditation. I know that many people say, no, I do Vipassana, no, I do Samatha. And the simile I give is the husband and wife, Samatha and Vipassana. Sam and Vi were a devoted couple, and one day after lunch they decided to go on a walk up Meditation Mountain together. Sam went up Meditation Mountain because he loved the peace. Sam Atta means calm. Vipassana means insight. So they were husband and wife, inseparable. They went up Meditation Mountain together. Sam went up there for the peace. Vi went up there for the view. So they took their dog with them. Their little dog, Metta the dog. So Sam Atta, Vipassana, and Metta went up Meditation Mountain together. Even halfway up, Sam experienced a great peace. Even halfway up the mountain, it was so quiet and still. But he also had a pair of eyes, he could see the view. Vipassana, she could see the great view even halfway up, but she also appreciated the peace. And little Metta the dog was getting happier and happier, wagging her tail more and more, the higher she got up Meditation Mountain. And when they reached the peak of Meditation Mountain, it was so still. Sam had reached his goal. Absolute stillness on the top of Meditation Mountain. But he also had a pair of eyes that could admire the great view. His wife, Vipassana, she was taking all these insight shots with her camera. She could see forever on top of Meditation Mountain. But she also appreciated the enormous stillness in there. And little Metta the dog, like a dog does when they're really, really ecstatic, was wagging her little tail like it would fall off and running round in circles. Because on top of Meditation Mountain, the stillness, the insights, and the joy all coexist. There is no difference between Samatha, the calm, Vipassana, the insight, and Metta, the love. They all go together when you find Meditation Mountain. Dear Jabal, I can't seem to keep my mind still and quiet. It is busy with thoughts. What can I do? Don't do anything. That's the problem. Just leave it alone. How can I stop the water from moving? Don't try harder. It's the first thing I said when I taught this retreat. If you want the water to be still, don't try to hold it. Let it go. So say, mind, okay, if you want to think, that's fine by me. So sit down there and see if you can beat the Guinness Book of Records for thoughts. The most thoughts in the shortest time. In other words, don't take them seriously. Just let them be. So if you do that, you usually get very peaceful. If you try to be peaceful, you never get anywhere. Okay, question I've got. Dear Ajahn Brahm, your emptiness, could you please give a talk on the qualities of the Dharma described by the Buddha? Sanditiko, that means something which you will experience in this very life. As opposed to something you have to prove in your next life. So in many religions, the only way you could find out the right type of Christianity, because they always say the other types of Christianity are wrong. The Protestants say the Catholics are wrong. The Catholics say the Protestants are wrong. The different Protestants, the Mormons, the Greek Orthodox, the Coptics. There's so many different sects. And they always say that ours is the only one which is right and everyone else is wrong. So how do you know which one is right? How do you know if you back the right horse? I know there's some of my disciples, they go to every church. And they also go to the mosque, and they go to the Hindu temple, and they come to my temple and say, why do you go to everybody? So that way I can't go wrong. One of you must be right. But that's when you can only find what's right after you die. And that's one of the problems many of the faiths. You can't prove it in this life. You take it on faith and hopefully you back the right horse. Kaliko means timeless. In other words, these are truths about meditation, about the nature of the human mind, which are as true today as they were 2500 years ago. Ahipasiko means it always goes inward, and this is one of the things I told somebody just during the toilet break. When do I know how to go into the next stage of meditation, they asked. You never go on to the next stage of meditation. You stay where you are, and the next stage appears from right within the stage you're on now. It's always going inwards. That's what Ahipasika means come and see. This is Openaiko, always leading inwards. Leading in. So you go deeper into where you are now. And into that, and into the center of that, and into the center of the next thing. So if you've got a mind with lots and lots of thinking, go in the center of the thoughts. Don't try to stop them. Go into the center of where you are now. And there you'll find stillness. Like the center of the storm. Now, Pachatang we did well when you're eating, that's wise people seeing it for themselves, not believing it because the monk said it, or the nun said it, or the book said it. You find out for yourself. So it's not giving a talk on these things. Actually, these are suggestions for talks, so I'll give some more of these questions here. Please describe the experience of being in jhana, please. Wow, if I described it to you, would you understand? Could you please describe, say, any of you say been to Paris? Can you describe Paris for me? It's hard to explain, describe even physical places, let alone what happens when you go to these deep states of meditation. But, in brief, in those jhanas, number one, you can't experience the body at all. You can't hear. You can't see, you can't smell, you can't taste. If somebody touched you on the shoulder, you wouldn't know about it. That's a clear sign of the jhana. The five senses have disappeared. That's one of the best ways of knowing when you're in the jhana. That's one of the ways, sorry. The other thing is you're perfectly aware. You're not asleep. Really strong mindfulness, very, very clear. And what are you aware of? Ecstasy. Bliss. Not one of the highest pleasure you've ever experienced since you were born. The bliss better than sex. Wonderful, joyful, having a great time. So you come out afterwards, wow, that was good. And you describe what you're experiencing, it was bliss. That's the object of your attention, of your consciousness when you're in deep meditation. And the different jhanas are different types of bliss. Just like ice cream has got chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, whatever. It shows you how much little ice cream I eat. Or rather, how little ice cream I've given. So, there's also many different types of ice cream. And these are like different flavors of bliss, the different types of jhanas. Dear Ajahn Brahm, maybe this will be the last question because this is really important. What is the biggest secret to life? They've got biggest in capital letters underlined. What is the biggest secret of life? The answer is, if I told you, it would be a secret. So now is the time to meditate. Actually, to be serious, the biggest secret is the meaning of the rabbit on this page. If you can understand that, you understand the meaning of all things. No, it's not. Okay, so if you'd like to get into your meditation posture. Close your eyes. Have a yawn, like me. Now with your eyes closed, bring up awareness of your body. Just to check your body out and make sure it's sitting reasonably comfortably. Your legs in the right position, your bottom not too uncomfortable. If you feel sleepy, move your back away from the back of the chair. So it's upright. Much harder to fall asleep that way. And when your body feels reasonably comfortable, you can let it go. Pay attention to your mental world. All these thoughts, in the past and the future. First of all, let go of the past, let go of the future. You can remember that simile of the two heavy suitcases. For those of you who still have trouble stopping thinking, most of the thinking is about the past or the future. So doing this suitcase exercise will help enormously. Most of the thinking just disappears when you stay in the present moment. All of your past, anything which has happened to you in this retreat, earlier today, let alone before you came here, pull that all away. Put it down, let it go, stop carrying it. And all of your future, what you're going to do later on this evening, tomorrow and the next day, put that down too. You carried it for too long. What's left, what's between the past and the future, where you're standing, and call the present moment to see you now. Stay as sharply in the present moment as you can. It's very hard to have thoughts that are right in the center of now. Most thoughts about what's just happened to you. Like a naming and taking notes. It's about the past. Or sometimes it's planning the future. That's all thinking. In the present moment, it's already here. Nothing much to think about. So instead of thinking about the present moment, be kind to her. Opening the door of your heart to the experience of now. Just relaxing in this experience. Don't be afraid. Don't fear we get control and craving. So let it go. We get this wonderful sense of peace and confidence needed. Just be. Right in the center of now.
Please take three more breaths. Count them. The end of the third breath. Come out from the meditation. Have a nice evening. Do some more meditation. Thank God for now. If you wish to meditate here, or you can meditate back in your rooms. Any time of the day, in the afternoon, you can always come in here, come and have a nice quiet meditation together. Have a nice night. See you in the morning. And may you have peaceful dreams, or even better, no dreams, and fall fast asleep and wake up refreshed.